Hey, welcome back to CMDA Matters, the official weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. And I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, the CEO of CMDA. I hope you had a great resurrection celebration, no matter where you happen to celebrate it, even if you happen to be on your own in quarantine. This has been a crazy Easter season, but I've heard from so many different friends and colleagues, Easter can never be taken away from us. He's risen, and he is risen indeed. No COVID-19 is going to take that away from us. Well, at CMDA, we actually had an added blessing this year for Holy Week in response to COVID-19, and that was our CMDA dedicated day of prayer and fasting with over 300 people joining us on a live Facebook feed three times on the Wednesday before Easter. If you missed it, you can still view one or all three half-hour sessions on our Courage in the Crisis, CMDA and COVID-19 Facebook group. Just type in Courage in the Crisis, CMDA and COVID-19 in the search bar at the top of Facebook, and you'll get right to it. Well, CMDA Matters is being released this week around the time that we had originally scheduled our annual Spring National Convention. And this year it was going to be held in Covington, Kentucky. But no surprise, like all the other professional meetings of this kind in the United States scheduled this spring, we had to cancel our national convention because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Our CMDA Board of Trustees and our House of Representatives will still be meeting virtually this week, discussing several important issues, including urgently but carefully crafted public policy statements related to COVID-19. They will also be putting the final touches on a couple of ethics statements that we've been working on for a number of months at CMDA, one on pornography and the other on opioids and pain medication use. I want to be talking with you more about that after the board meeting and pointing you to some final documents that will be very helpful to you on these important topics. Our CMDA Ethics Committee does an outstanding job with bioethicists from across the country participating as volunteers. I want to recognize the great work that they do on behalf of all of us. You know, in addition to developing ethics statements, each month a member of this committee is assigned to be on call for you. Any of you who have ethical concerns that you're dealing with in your practice and your community, there's an online form actually on our CMDA website that you can use, or just call our office at 888-230-2637. One of our staff will get you in touch with one of the ethics committee members who's on call that week. It's an incredible service available to you as a member of CMDA. I also wanted to let you know that our CMDA National Office is working with our New York City CMDA Area Director, Dr. Matthew Sa, to purchase PPE, including FDA-approved N95 masks. The chapter there in New York for CMDA will be distributing the masks to needy healthcare professionals who are on the front lines caring for COVID-19 patients. The supplies coming from the U.S. government and other organizations are just not able to reach all of those healthcare professionals who are at risk right now. Warehouse space has been graciously donated, and the masks are being sourced directly from suppliers to be delivered directly to New York City. You can help with donations and the purchase of those masks and other PPE supplies by going to give.cmda.org/NYCOVID. That stands for New York COVID, NY COVID. Well, now I'd like to introduce you to my special guest this week, Mr. Jeff Hanen. Jeff is the founder and CEO of the Denver Institute for Faith and Work. It's an educational nonprofit that teaches and convenes leaders on theology, work, calling, and culture. He's also the founder of the 5280 Fellowship, which is an emerging leaders program in Denver, Colorado, and Scatter.org, an online learning platform. He writes articles for Christianity Today, Comment Magazine, and other publications. He's the author of a book entitled An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, Finding God's Purpose for the Next Season of Life. He lives with his wife and four daughters in Denver, Colorado. So let's jump right into my discussion today with Mr. Jeff Hanen. I'm excited to welcome to the microphone today Mr. Jeff Hanen, who has done a great service to, I believe, our members and to their spouses and others by publishing a book this year entitled An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, Finding God's Purpose for the Next Season of Life. And Jeff, welcome to the program today.
Thanks for having me.
With the boomers retiring at a pace of 10,000 a day, there's certainly a number of people who probably should be reading your book. And could you tell me what motivated you to write this book? You're not ready to retire yourself, I'm guessing. So what brought you to the conclusion that this book was needed now?
Well, yeah. Thanks for the question. You know, a couple things. One is, as you said, the world is getting older. There are about twice as many people over age 65 in 2050 as there's going to be today. And so as I saw that, I also saw folks in my own community right here in Colorado and my own parents going through retirement. And I think there's very strong sort of cultural narratives about what you got to do to prepare for retirement. Most of them are financial in nature. But there were literally a lot of people, and even in our organization, asking, so when you're there, then what? What does life look like? Retirement's officially defined as a cessation from work. But that's something that a lot of baby boomers are not even comfortable with, of a complete cessation. But what's the right balance between work and rest and family and mentoring? There's a lot of big questions out there that have been sort of vague. So I decided to put together a book on the topic and do some research and interviews on some of the best thinking on our day.
And in your book, you actually interviewed, I think, your parents for this. I think they were of some help to you, were they not?
Yeah, I did. I did interview my parents. I interviewed my mom, Lynn, and my dad, Greg. My dad turned 65 recently. He was a career at selling print advertising. He moved up to Alexandria, Minnesota, a couple hours from the Twin Cities in Minneapolis to retire to be close to his wife, Gail. They'd lived apart for about 14 years. And so they were really ready to start retirement. They sold their house in Minneapolis, got the fireplace, the big screen TV, a farmhouse kitchen. They eagerly awaiting the new season of R&R. But even right getting into retirement, they saw that life wasn't perhaps all that they thought it might be in retirement. My Aunt Holly, so his sister, went in for another round of chemotherapy. There were some challenges at the restaurant that they own. The reality is the human condition is the same before 65 as it is after 65, yet that's not really what our culture says about retirement. So he had questions about what was his purpose, what's his calling, what's he going to do right now, just as my mom has had some of those questions living out here with me in Colorado now as well.
Well, I found that each one of the chapters that you wrote were extremely important chapters. Talk to our listeners a little bit about this Sabbath that you are recommending.
Yeah, so I think in our culture, the big narrative or kind of story about retirement is that it's a never-ending vacation. But even the word vacation comes from the same root to vacate, and it's sort of this attempt to vacate our lives. And a lot of even retirement communities sort of look like that, where you're sort of trying to vacate reality in sort of a mix of entertainment and pleasure. I think the better biblical understanding, really even for retirement, is first taking a season of Sabbath rest. So this idea is in Leviticus 25 with the concept of giving the land 1 year of rest out of every seven. I think a lot of us have taken maybe Sabbath days, but a season of Sabbath rest is something that most have not. Perhaps physicians at CMDA have, but most that we've spoke to have not. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea of a Sabbath and even taking an intentional season of not vacation, but Sabbath rest is really important to recenter identity in who God says we are, not so much our careers. Perhaps having time to notice those that we haven't noticed kind of in the busy career, as well as really to trust God and reorient the heart to trust God for what's next in this next season of life.
And you point out that a critical part of calling, which is a chapter in of itself about how God calls us at different seasons, this is another season approaching retirement and beyond in which reassessing God's call is important, in that listening for God's voice, listening for God's instruction about purpose. How do you suggest during Sabbath that people get into a position where they're able to hear God giving them direction?
Well, yeah, I have a few different things. Some are some questions, but some are the context that you put yourself in as well. I think doing even the sabbatical rest with a community they're usually much easier to do when you're doing it with others rather than yourself. And actually, the ancient practice of Sabbath was a communal practice, not only an individualistic one. So I think doing it along with people and starting to look back and remember what God has done in your life and career, take time to celebrate what has been, take time to reorient the heart to our worship. I think those are really important to do in a community. So that's the first thing I'd say. The second is on the calling side. I think a lot of people think of calling mostly in terms of my ideal job and what do I want to do next. If I couldn't find sort of meaning in my career, now I'm going to find it in the ideal job. And I think the biblical framework for calling is much more focused on the first call, which is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then the second one is listening to his voice in our particular circumstances. And that could be a call to something great. It could be a call to suffer, but it could be a lot of different things. It really is a subcategory of spiritual formation. So I think in the book, when we start to sort of humble the self and our own desires for meaning or even impact in the next season of life, we can hear God's voice. And it could be, you know, to spend time with family. It could be another job. Actually, sometimes sabbaticals can last a little longer in retirement than 3 months. They might last 6 or 9 months. So it really honestly depends on what God says. Some people that have done these well don't say what they're going to do after the sabbatical because that presupposes what God is going to say, and that is not necessarily listening to the voice of another person. So I think that takes courage to say, I'm going to move into this season of rest, and I'm just going to rest, I'm just going to listen, and not, you know, make my plans for everything that I'm going to do in 6 months or whatever.
So, Jeff, in terms of some principles for retirees who are like, I still want to continue at least part-time working and doing what I was doing before, unpack a little bit of what you think this looks like successfully during retirement or the years after backing off from being go, 60 to 80 hours a week.
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I think recognizing that you're moving into a new season is really important. So in the book, I quote Fred Smith, who is the former president of The Gathering, and he talks about retirement being like fly fishing. He says that when I catch fish, I don't know how to keep them now, but I delight in releasing them, catch and release. That's what retirement means to me. He's happy to let go of past accomplishments and to give in retirement. And I think that the identity piece in retirement of letting go of what you were and allowing others to lead is an important part of an Old Testament vision of what an elder means, not only in terms of a New Testament office in the church, but somebody ready to give wisdom and blessing and influence to the next generation and helping them to lead and to grow. So I think a little bit of that identity shift and movement is an important thing to think about rather than sort of not shifting or sort of wishing for maybe something that was, or the other side of it could be totally forsaking what was as well.
You do point out that those who have spent their lives doing something to pay the light bill and put food on the table may not at all ever want to look back and go back to doing what they were doing before. I think that may not be quite as common for our members in medicine because many of them as professionals really find great fulfillment in helping care for the sick and the dying and may not totally abandon healthcare, but maybe back off some.
Yeah, I think the experience of retirement for most working class communities is very, very different than most professional communities. In the book, I cited a journalist, his name is Doug Mutter, and he said this, I'll read you a quote. He says, here's what sums it up for me. When professionals retire, we keep dabbling. The retired newspaper editor in my hometown still writes. When the professor retires, he keeps reading journals and going to talks. But in the 30 years since my dad took an early retirement, he has never brought home some fish oil and mixed up a batch of cattle feed in the garage. When you retire from Walmart, you don't set up a barcode scanner in the basement just to stay busy. You do that stuff for money. When they stop paying you, you never do it again. So I do think there's a very different, your experience of your career will very much influence how you think about your retirement as well. And I think you're right. Most physicians got into it, at least in the beginning, for the sake of healing. Though a lot of physicians also have realized that it's been very difficult, especially with the high rates of physician burnout. I'm sure that you guys work on that as well. So
We do.
But the experience of retirement can be very different for different people, you know, based on what their career was.
The paradigm that I have seen countless times that's brought incredible blessing to Christians in healthcare has been still hanging on to their licensure and getting involved in short-term missions. And now short-term can mean 3 to 6 months. It doesn't necessarily mean 2 weeks anymore because they have more time and ability and in many cases have the resources to be able to handle what the responsibilities back at home. And I have seen one recently retired individual after another be so blessed by giving of themselves in working in a cross-cultural mission hospital setting or mission clinic setting and finding that these are just some of the most fulfilling experiences of their lives. So volunteer work is certainly what a significant number of these boomers can get involved with. You did mention one story, and I kind of gave you a heads up before we got going that I might ask you just to talk a little bit about a neurosurgeon named Gary Vander Ark, whom you're familiar with, that had such a blessed retirement because of involvement in volunteering and keeping on going and giving of himself. Could you tell us about how Gary was successful?
Yeah, Gary Vander Ark, when I was a seminary student, he reached out to me and listened to my hopes and dreams. He's now in his 70s. He continually teaches 5 classes of medical students at the University of Colorado. It's a pretty big load, but he also sits on several boards. And, you know, he started a nonprofit in our town called Doctors Care, which serves our medically underserved population. And, you know, if anybody has a right to hang up his cleats and slow down, it's Gary. But when I interviewed him about what really motivates him, he said, "I believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I'm enjoying myself too much to stop." So he enjoys giving. He enjoys giving not only financially, but to boards as well as to traveling, as well as he likes to keep on working. And so for him, there's a lot of continuity between his working life and what you'd call his, you know, either later life. You wouldn't call it retirement, right? Yes. Others will experience much more discontinuity. But what I think is really important is he's spiritually vibrant. Like internally, he's spiritually vibrant. He's not looking for meaning from something that he couldn't find in his career. He is, like it says in Psalm 92, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and they grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green." I think that really is Gary. And he had a big influence on me in my life. And I think that's really what the culture needs from those retiring right now, is say, what kind of influence do I want to leave behind in the lives of especially younger leaders behind me? That's something I needed very much, and it was a blessing.
Well, that's a good segue to talk about the whole concept of a word that sometimes causes our older members to cringe because of the expectations maybe that comes with the word, and that is mentoring. And you emphasized intergenerational friendship, and that's what the focus should be, not this preordained time frame where two people who don't really know each other that well come together, a younger person, a millennial with a boomer with this agenda. Talk to us about intergenerational friendship and how that really sets up an effective mentoring relationship.
This has been some of my own experience of being mentored by others and those that have done it well as those that haven't. So I think there is a lot of anxiety around mentoring. Sometimes for the mentee, in terms of, am I going to be really heard this meeting? Or are they just going to kind of tell me what to do? But also for the mentor, do I have something to give or not? And sometimes there's these very highly structured, like monthly coffee chats where you're going to get what I have to give you and then you're going to be fixed and I'm going to be satisfied. Those don't work very well. They really don't. What I actually think works a lot better is people developing genuine friendships from different backgrounds as well as intergenerational friendships. There are several folks in our community that have done this, and I actually think when you start to think about it more in terms of friendship, you have really the basis for a much more kind of spiritually formative relationship to take place. And in the book, I lay out a few practical things to do to, you know, make it more of a friendship proposition, mentoring proposition.
So, Jeff, one of the principles for being effective and successful as a mentor, working with a mentee, and no matter what cross-generational difference there is that mentees are looking for vulnerability and authenticity and truth-speaking from mentors. Can you tell us a little bit what that looks like in an intergenerational friendship that you describe?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's something that I've realized from both experience as well as observing mentoring relationships that go well and what they don't. And, you know, they usually look like intergenerational friendship. And inside of intergenerational friendship, I think one of those key elements is self-disclosure. It's vulnerability. You're willing to say, where did you blow it? Where did things not go well? It could be in your marriage, you know, and it could be in your work. I think that's some of the things that mentees need the most, because we all have in our mind this question, do I measure up? Am I going to be good enough? And hearing about what you're supposed to do is sometimes not very helpful. Hearing about how somebody else is like you and perhaps has not always done a great job creates that foundation, that really fertile foundation for trust to develop, which I think then is the foundation then for what a good mentor does is appropriately challenges a mentee. And you can bring that authority. But I think really that vulnerability and that willingness to say where we blew it, that really is the best thing a mentor can do. Not in an artificial way, but in a real genuine way, like you would do that with any friend that is actually a friend.
You talk about intergenerational living in sharing close quarters together because of economics. Maybe retired folks, couple don't really have the resources to live on their own, or vice versa, that adult kids are going through hard economic times and now trying to share and capitalize on living in the same quarters. Talk about maybe some of the benefits, but also some cautions in that situation. Unpack that for us.
Well, yeah. So I wrote a chapter about family, and it really is about the tensions that people experience. One of the big things that people are looking forward to their entire is spending more time with family. Sometimes it's siblings, but most times it's kids or grandkids. And that is one of the blessings of retirement, but there are some real challenges. So the typical one is being a part of, you know, the sandwich generation where you're caring for potentially dying or ailing parents as you move into retirement. And then adult kids oftentimes that have financial needs as well. And that can also, you know, introduce not only financial tensions, but tensions in marriage. And so there really does need to be a reassessment of what is my responsibility to my parents? What is my responsibility to my kids? How do we have a really robust and healthy marriage in this context? And one of the key things I think from at least that chapter in my book that I would emphasize is not the theme of independence, of living this fully independent life that is, you know, very much a part of the individualism of our culture, but of interdependence. We need each other, right? And this is something we realized when we were kids, we needed our parents. When we're very old, we're going to need others. Obviously, you see this in the healthcare field as well. But I think that really assessing these types of things of like, we're going to get older. It's okay. This is a part of God's plan. What does it look like for us to live a really fruitful, not only vocational life, but also family life in these contexts? And how do we have those conversations about setting boundaries as well as responsibilities in this season of life?
Jeff, I want to thank you. We do have resources at CMDA to help our members, those listening with retirement, this Encore ministry. We offer that as a service. So that there are all kinds of service opportunities, community opportunities, potentially mentoring opportunities for our members. I want to give you one more shot to challenge our listeners in how they can plan and prepare for an uncommon retirement, one that is upside down like the kingdom of God seems to be in Scripture.
Yeah, I think a summary would be, rather than thinking about retirement in terms of a never-ending vacation, let's really embrace rest, internal renewal, and re-engagement as elders in our communities. That really, I think, is a biblical vision of let us rest. How do we internally renew, listen to God's voice, and re-engage in our Christian vocations, whether that be through work or in family, in all these areas of life, all the way till the final day. The most inspiring stories that we hear are people that had passion, had drive, that were serving others until they couldn't do that anymore. So that's why I really encourage listeners to think about what does that look like for me to step back and then re-engage as I move into retirement.
And it could be that we've got some listeners who've never really been able to practice Sabbath and a sabbatical and pursue these principles and find out for the first time now in this new chapter an incredible joy of service in the kingdom of God and see God act on their behalf in a way that they'd never thought possible. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. God bless you, and I just pray that this book, An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, Finding God's Purpose for the Next Season of Life, will find its way into the hands of many who really want to please God and hear that, well done, my good and faithful servant, from Matthew 25. And come, let's celebrate together. You finished well. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
We'd like to get you a copy of Jeff's book from our Life and Health bookstore. We carry that book as well as some other related books on this topic related to answering God's call. Os Guinness, one of my favorite authors, has written a book several years ago that I think is one of the best books about Understanding and responding to God's call. It's entitled The Call, Finding and Fulfilling the Central Purpose of Your Life. And then Oz released another book last year, which I think is fantastic, entitled Carpe Diem Redeemed, Seizing the Day, Discerning the Times. A final book we have available as well for you to purchase is a book by Mr. Tim Elmore, Marching Off the Map. It's very helpful and addresses how to understand and connect with students. To get these resources, just call us at 888-230-2637, or you can go online, cmda.org/shop. One more great resource that you should know about is our Encore Ministry for retired and nearly retired healthcare professionals. Dr. Gene Rudd is our champion for this ministry, our former senior vice president, and he sends out a newsletter each month with information to encourage and guide you in your retirement years to continue to use your skills and experience to glorify God. If you'd like to sign up for that newsletter, just go to cmda.org/encore, and you can get past issues of this newsletter on that webpage. Today, I'm going to conclude with a Stewardship Matters segment that we haven't done in a while with our Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Jamie Campbell, and our Senior Director of Legacy Giving, Mr. Paul Montgomery, about the impact of COVID-19 and IRAs. Let's listen into that discussion. I think you'll find it very interesting.
Welcome to another edition of Stewardship Matters. I'm Jamie Campbell, Chief Operating Officer here at CMDA. I'm joined today by Mr. Paul Montgomery, our Director of Stewardship and Legacy Giving. Paul, what do you have for us today?
Thank you, Jamie. Besides COVID-19, essentially we talk about nothing else but that.
I think that's the way the world has headed over the past few weeks.
But Jamie, as we are traveling into uncharted territories, I'm reminded of the scripture, Matthew 8:23-27. When Jesus got into the boat with his disciples and a storm came up so strong that the disciples were afraid they were dying, even though Jesus was with them. And when I compare it to where we are today, we have Jesus with us, but there's so much fear in our land. And we must constantly be reminded ourselves that there will be calm after the storm, and he will take us through the storm. Sometimes it's difficult for us to see to the other side.
Amen. I agree. It takes patience and perseverance for times like we're in.
Yes, and patience is a word that is really getting a lot of mileage these days. I've been talking with some of our members who really understand the long game. They understand that the markets have taken a deep hit, but they maintain the long-term view. The direction is more positive.
I'm sure there are a lot of people in the same boat. I used to have a 401k, now I have a 201k, but I expect that to come back as well. What else do we want to talk about today?
Jamie, we have spent some time in the past talking about the Secure Act, and now Congress has passed the CARES Act, which is the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act.
How does that impact our members?
Our members should know how the act affects retirement planning, specifically about distribution from the IRA accounts.
So what's new about that?
Any individual who would have been required to take required minimum distribution, in other words, an RMD, in 2020, can now forego their RMD in 2020. This will provide a potentially significant tax break as investors can leave tax-deferred money in retirement plans and not pay federal or state tax on the distribution in 2020. If you have already taken your 2020 RMD, you may be able to roll the money back into your retirement plan if it is within 60 days of the distribution. However, if you took your RMD very early in 2020 and have passed the 60-day window, you have another option. The rollover can be completed anytime over the next 3 years if you can show that it was impacted by the COVID-19 crisis.
What about the IRA charitable rollover? Is that impacted by this?
There is no impact to that charitable rollover in 2020. Everything's in place as it was this time last year.
So people can continue to give from their IRAs to charity.
Yes. The coronavirus-related distributions give you the ability to access up to $100,000 of your retirement plans if you were affected by the COVID-19 crisis, which means if you're 59 and a half or younger, you have access to your cash there without a penalty. Also, the CARES Act has extended the filing deadline in 2019 taxes until July 15th, which means you can still make contributions to your IRA and get the deduction for 2019.
That's great news, because usually that runs out much earlier in the year. That's a lot of changes, Paul.
Yes, we advise all of our members to check in with their financial advisors or legal counsel for specific questions regarding their portfolio. And however, we would love to work with any of our members with any type of particular questions. And if we cannot help them, we have access to resources to get them the questions answered.
So what's the best way for our members to get in touch with you?
Members can call us toll-free, 888-230-2637, or they can send us an email at stewardship@cmda.org.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Jamie.
As we conclude, I'd like to leave you with a scripture from the book of Psalms, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, where David says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Well, until next week, what matters to you matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Lord bless you today.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.